So, hello, greetings. Let's do the audio check first and foremost. If you can hear me, maybe you can give me a thumbs up. Yes, it's a happy yes. Yes, good. Fantastic. So, it's Thursday, which for the purposes of our practice period together means that we have transitioned into the second part of our retreat. You remember at the beginning, as Gil introduced the themes for the retreat, the first part of the retreat, we would talk about the qualities to cultivate. And the second half of the retreat, we would talk about the three insights, the three characteristics as they are called. And throughout the retreat, our hope, our invitation is to cultivate and lean into all the hard qualities which are important, which are paramount, no matter what. So, before I start my talk, actually, I'd like to make an announcement. That is, Ying is going to offer one-on-one practice meetings tomorrow afternoon and Saturday afternoon, Friday and Saturday afternoons. So if you need more support with your practice, it would be helpful to have a practice discussion with her. Please sign up. You can find information on the system, how to do that. And these practice meetings, one-on-ones are intended to support you. Those who need more support, have questions. Ying is lovely. And yet this is not an invitation to just sign up and hang out and get to know Ying. It's an opportunity. So please reserve them for either yourself or folks who need support with their practice. Great. So with that, I would like to talk a little bit today about impermanence, the first of the three characteristics. And first, I'd like to say that the three characteristics, some practitioners, some of us relate to them as if they're bad news. They're just bad news. Just, oh my God, three characteristics. These Buddhists, they just talk about impermanence and unsatisfactoriness. And gosh, and there is, it's not self, no self. What's up with that? Suffering. It's like, oh my goodness, what have I signed up for? I'm halfway through this thing. Of course, I'm making a caricature out of it. Caricature of it, perhaps to bring a little bit of a humor, because if that is coming up in the mind, maybe hold it lightly, because the idea of, or the practice rather, it's not an idea, it's the practice of seeing the characteristics is not to make us depressed, to be heavy. This is the path of freedom. This is the path of happiness. The Buddha was known not as the depressed, detached guy who was just like aloof. He was known as the happy one. So this is the koan, perhaps the question I'd like to put forth at the beginning of the talk for you to continue to ask yourself throughout the talk, as I will talk about insight into impermanence. How does this insight for me, personally for me, this being who is me, how can it more? Can I relate? But what is the healthy way to relate to this? Not get off the rails. What is the healthy way to relate to this in order to have more freedom, more ease, less entanglement, more care, more love, more ease in my life? That is the point. That is the intention. So, another thing I want to say as I set the frame is that the insights into these characteristics, the insights move from the personal towards the universal. So I will talk about impermanence on many ways today, on many scales and levels, and yet to keep in mind that insights, sense of wisdom about these characteristics, about these aspects of the Dharma, how things are, they start with what is personal. We see them for ourselves in our own lives, not in universal ways. We start to see that, how it happens for us. Maybe we notice an emotion is here and we're caught in it, and then, oh, it goes away. Wow, it's impermanent. So through the, and I'll say much more about that in a moment, but to say that from the personal, then we see the universality. We see the universality, but don't try to jump to the universal. Otherwise, these insights will become heady, kind of conceptual. Try to see them, try to relate to them in a very personal, embodied, felt sense, from a place of stability, from a place of being rooted in your body, in your life, seeing, noticing, observing. So those are a couple of things I wanted to plant before I get more into the details of the talk, just so that you keep those in mind, perhaps those koans in mind as you listen, as you let this talk wash over you, and may it be of service. So the three characteristics are known as the three insights, and the insights are about gaining wisdom, and compassion, I like to add, because all three of these characteristics also, they require care, they require the hard qualities that we talked about. And they give rise to hard qualities. They give rise to hard qualities. And again, planting another seed, I'll talk more about this later in the talk. Planting all these points, it's kind of, I'm perhaps laying out some of the bullet points before I get into more depth into them. So listen out, watch out, or look out for these points to be made later. And for now, sit with them with curiosity. So in The Examined Life, Seido Ray Ronchi says, wisdom is not merely something to be gained with old age. One can be wise in every stage of one's life. To manifest wisdom means simply to step back and see. And that's what we're doing here. To manifest wisdom means simply to step back and see. To reflect, to inquire, to be aware, be disciplined, and be focused not once in a while, but all of the time, moment to moment. This life is precious and fleeting. Pay attention. I love those last two sentences. This life is precious and fleeting. Pay attention. The teaching of Anicca is not to be used as, oh, it's just impermanent. It's all passing. Oh, there's no point. It's just all passing. This life is precious. Pay attention. So notice if your mind, if your heart at any point veers off the rails and uses mistakenly, inappropriately, misuses, misapplies the teaching or the wisdom of impermanence to diminish, to devalue life, what is, as, oh, it's just impermanent. It's precious. It's fleeting. And the fact that it is impermanent doesn't make it any less, I would use the word sacred. In fact, it makes it more so that it is impermanent, that there's nothing to hang on to for it to stay. The word anicca, the word anicca in Pali, A-N-I-C-C-A, literally means inconstant. And it arises from the synthesis of two separate words. One is nicca, N-I-C-C-A, which means continuity, the concept of continuity and permanence. And the privative particle a, which basically negates the word. So anicca is the exact opposite of nicca. Impermanent, absence of permanence and continuity. And as we've been establishing, inviting you to establish a sense of stability so that the mind, the heart, has a sense of stability in the body. Remember the first day, guided meditation, the talk, inviting you, the sense of stability. Embodiment with care. And yet the point isn't just to stay there. The point is to cultivate that, to cultivate the sense of stability, not to just empty your mind and calm ourselves to all the change. It's actually the other way. We calm ourselves, so we bring a sense of stability to the mind so that we can open up to all, to the full catastrophe, to everything just as it is, to the full catastrophe, to the beauty, to the awe, to the fragility, to the fury, to the sadness, to the craziness, to the full catastrophe, to everything that is arising and passing, every moment arising and passing with stability, with care. So the practice isn't to avoid, is to push it all away. Oh yes, don't disturb my peace, my stability. I'm building stability. Stability that, just like those monks, the story I told, the stability of mind is only dependent on the conditions. That's not real stability. We're building it. We're cultivating it for a reason, to open up to allow all the life as it is, arising and passing, and engaging with it with freedom, which can come from seeing and relating to inconstancy in a healthy way. Again, I'm going to say more about this. So impermanence is both easy to see and it's also difficult to see. It's all around us. It's all through us. There are so many levels of impermanence. When Suzuki Roshi, the author of the Zen Mind, Beginner's Mind, was asked by one of his students who said, "I've been listening to your lectures for years and I still don't understand. Can you please express Buddhism in a nutshell?" Suzuki Roshi replied with two words: "Everything changes." That's Buddhism in a nutshell. Everything changes. Everything changes. Everything changes. So in some ways, this is an obvious statement. It is an obvious statement, and yet the implications are enormous. So in order to invite our hearts, our minds, to swim with the sense of impermanence, I'd like to mention a few different scales for us to open up to. For one thing, there is the universe. The universe is old. According to the most recent measurements, it's 13.8 billion years old. And if we think of the rise of humankind, it's fairly recent. The Homo erectus, modern human, appearing around 1 million years ago. And today's humans only showing up about 200,000, 300,000 years ago. So if you compress the time of the universe into the span of a single day, so the entirety of the Big Bang being starting at midnight, the humans crashed the party at 11:59:56 p.m., 4 seconds before the end of the day. So it's sense of the scale of arising and passing away, and here we are human beings. I mean, the entire human history, humans crashing the party again, if you think of the Big Bang, as I said, it's a whole day. If 13.8 billion years was made into one day, you know, ours is, we've just crashed the party the last 4 seconds before midnight. So the sense of letting ourselves be awed by this magnificent scale. And then there is the geological times, oceans, mountains pushed up by forces of nature. If you visited the Grand Canyon, the rivers carved for 6 million years. And some of the canyons actually, it took 70 million years for them to be carved. A sense of impermanence. So 70 million years ago, there was no Grand Canyon. So in the long scale, there is the sense of impermanence. Everything changes when we go and visit, say, the redwoods in California, 400, 500 years old, 2,000 years old. It's the sense of coming and going. We can open up to impermanence with nature, the seasons. Right now being fall, so many leaves falling in the northern hemisphere. There's this the sense of arising and passing, nature, seasons, day and night, the weather. Wherever you are, the weather has shifted and changed. The weather outside, I haven't even talked about the weather inside yet. Shifting of the weather, the sense of impermanence, arising and passing. Civilizations coming and going. So many civilizations. Now, coming back to the scale of our lives, different seasons of our lives, different times of our lives. There are these different chapters of our lives. So we know impermanence. We personally know impermanence. We know it inside. We know it outside. We know, you know, when you get up in the morning, the weather is different, the lighting is different, the weather inside is a particular way. How many weather patterns have you had throughout the day today? How many emotions have you had? How many moods have you had that came and went? Actually, I'd like to invite you in this moment to perhaps close your eyes for a moment and let's do this reflection together. The sense of impermanence, bring to mind something that really gripped you earlier today. Maybe it was a thought, maybe it was an emotion, a mind state, maybe it was a sensation in the body, maybe it was sleepiness. Something that really gripped you. It seemed all-consuming. Bring it to heart, bring it to mind, bring it to your body, the felt sense of it. Let your heart, let your awareness really open to, in this moment, in this passing moment, it's not here. It passed. Maybe it seemed like it would never pass. Where is it now? Gone. You can open your eyes if you wish. Planting the seeds. Planting the seeds for becoming sensitive. Arising and passing away. So conditions change all the time. And in this practice, the invitation is to be aware, to be tuned, to be open-hearted to phenomena arising, phenomena staying for a while, phenomena passing. Again, by phenomena, I mean it could be thoughts. Thoughts could arise. Emotions, mind states could be Vedana. I haven't talked about Vedana much in this retreat yet. The feeling tone. Pleasant or unpleasant, or neither pleasant nor unpleasant, which we shorthand by saying neutral. So pleasant, unpleasant, or neutral feelings that arise. And the feeling tone is just like winds that blow, just like winds. They come, they go. It's pleasant one moment of meditation is pleasant, another moment of meditation is unpleasant. So all of these, you can be open to so many things, sensations in the body, arising. You can be sounds. Not but in terms of instructions. But one thing to be really is important in this in practicing with anicca is how do you relate to it? How does the mind relate to impermanence? That's really where the crux of it is. That's the crux of this practice. That's the crux of this talk. So if you're asleep until now, please wake up. The crux of it is, how do we relate to change? How do you relate to change? Do we welcome it? Do we not welcome it? Do we want it? Do we think it's bad? Especially consider when what we consider something pleasant, and then it changes to unpleasant. If you don't like it, do you become upset? Do you become angry? Do you blame yourself? Oh, I'm a bad meditator. I'm a bad person. I'm undeserving. What happens in the mind? How do you relate to change? Do you blame others? Oh, it's their fault. It's this loud noise outside my window. It's their fault. They disturbed my calm, peaceful meditation. Now I'm all disturbed. how does the mind relate to change? This shouldn't happen. This is not supposed to happen. Something is wrong in my life. This shouldn't happen. This change. It's not a mistake. Is it a mistake? Do we feel like we've done something wrong? Others have done something wrong. We don't want things to change. We don't want our bodies to change. We don't want to age. We want pleasant states of mind to stay. Pleasant states of the body to stay. We don't want to age or die. And that's another aspect of impermanence. The impermanence of this being that is me has arisen. We'll live for a while and it will pass away. It's the truth of impermanence. This is how things are. This is how things are. And suffering arises if we try to hang on to something that you cannot hang on to. It's born out of causes and conditions. It's co-created. It comes to exist from causes and conditions. And when the causes and conditions go away, that thing will go away. So it is said that suffering with respect to impermanence is like rope burn. When you're holding on to a rope and it's just slipping through your hands, it's slipping faster than you can hold on to, you get rope burn. You burn yourself because you're trying to hang on so tight, so hard. Let go. Open the hand. It's passing. It's passing. And sometimes we want change. We want impermanence to be on our side. If things are not going well, and sometimes impermanence is on our side, sometimes things change. Say if we are sick and our body heals, yay, impermanence was on our side. And sometimes we have this feeling or belief that things will never change. It will never, ever change. The situation of my life, this will never, ever change. Or this sickness, or this, whatever it is, it will never change. That's delusion also. That's delusion. Everything changes. Of course, everything changes. Just born of causes and conditions that hold it in place. So, it is the Buddha says, in seeing impermanence, in seeing impermanence, the mind doesn't cling. When the mind doesn't cling, it's not agitated. When it's not agitated, it personally attains nibbana. I'll see this. I'll read it again. This is a very significant statement and also relates to agitation, as Gail brought the concept of agitation yesterday in the Dharma talk. So in seeing impermanence, when we truly see impermanence, that is just impermanent, it's arising and it's passing, then the mind doesn't cling. The mind lets go. There's a sense of freedom. There's a sense of freedom that comes to the mind and heart. Okay. In seeing impermanence, the mind doesn't cling. When the mind doesn't cling, it's not agitated. Ah, there's a sense of freedom. There's a sense of ease that comes. There's no point to hang on. It's just, it's impermanent. We're in the midst of this passing flow of changing sensations and perceptions and circumstances. And this flow of change, we're swimming in the flow of change. So in seeing impermanence, the mind doesn't cling. When the mind doesn't cling, it's not agitated. When it's not agitated, it personally attains nibbana. it attains freedom. It becomes free. There's a sense of freedom, and it makes sense. Of course it makes sense. When you see, when the mind really appreciates, really sees arising and passing, impermanence, without reactivity, without recoiling, without grief, without pushing it away, without falling into it, without nihilism. It's just like, this is the way things are. Wow, yay, it's precious, it's beautiful, and it's impermanent. The mind doesn't cling. Then it becomes unagitated. It's not agitated anymore. It's at peace. It's at peace with the comings and goings, with the passings. It attains freedom. And I would add to this that something to keep in mind is an aspect of a free heart. One who has more freedom is more care, is more love, is more beauty, seeing goodness internally, externally. So seeing impermanence, seeing anicca, brings more love, more care for this passing show, this passing, amazing, mysterious show. It creates more freedom, lack of agitation, because this is how things are. You don't fight reality anymore. You don't get a rope burn anymore, trying to hold on to something that's just passing, going. There's no reason to do that. It's like this, and that's how wisdom gets attained. That's how wisdom arises. So, with specific invitations that I'd like to give you for practice, or invite you, these invitations, the invitation is first and foremost, as I flagged earlier in the talk, what is your relationship to change? Become aware of that. And again, don't self-flagellate, don't kick yourself, just see, oh yeah, this is how this mind and heart relates to change. Get to know, get to befriend, get to become aware of the way the mind relates to change. Because it's there anyway. It's in the background. Your relationship, your frame, your perspective, the way you see, the color of the glasses you have chosen to put on, or causes and conditions have put on you, determines how you react, how you respond. Is it a reaction? Is it a reactivity? Oops, don't let it go away. I'm going to grab onto the rope. Or is it, it's okay. It's like this. There's stability. Heart and mind can relax, can arise, can pass away. It's here. It's okay. It's here. So first and foremost, know the relationship of your mind. Become a scientist of your own mind with curiosity, with care, with love. How does this mind relate? And then allow yourself to see, to be open to seeing impermanence in your life and in your practice. Now on the cushion, you can see it with the breath, with the arising and passing of the breath, if you like. The in-breath arises, stays, passes. You can see it with the sounds that arise and pass, the beginning of sounds, the end of sounds. Really seeing impermanence, feeling into impermanence. Wow, the moment to moment experience. And the experience with sounds, actually seeing impermanence with sounds, can penetrate really deeply, and it might be one of the or there are many places you can see this, but I have very fond memories of the first time that I got the instruction to see the beginning and ending of the sounds on a retreat I was sitting decades ago. And the moment it just crystallized, wow, impermanence. Wow, there's something that can really drop deep this way. And yeah, we know sounds begin and end, but there's something that when you have the stability of mind, something that can shake you. And similarly, strong emotions, as I mentioned, mind states, let yourself see them arising, being here for a while, and then passing. Pleasant, unpleasant, neutral, Vedana. Let yourself be aware of liking, disliking, or pain, or if you're walking a step. There is so much. It just, it's changes all around. Life is change. Everything changes. Everything changes. Everything changes. And when you experience the flow of experience, again, check the quality of your mind. Is your mind clinging? Is it agitated? Also, here's another invitation. You can use agitation as a pointer. Wherever you're, whenever your mind is agitated, use that as a pointer that tells you, hey, look here. Whenever there is agitation, that is a pointer. That's a pointing to instruction for you. Like, hey, look here. What's happening? Why is the mind agitated? Do I want things to be different than they are? It was some particular way, impermanence, and now it's not the way I wanted it to be. I wanted it to be some other way. So let agitation to be a pointer. And can there be ease? Can there be holding with an open hand, the rope not clinging to? It's already passing. And again, I said this earlier, but I really want to emphasize, please, 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 don't let this insight into impermanence be used as a big hammer of spiritual bypass. Nothing matters. It's all impermanent. It's all gray. If you notice that that's happening in the mind, that is not practice. Practice that, in that if that comes up, insight has gone off the rails into nihilism. So come back. You know, you're welcome to reach out, talk with one of us, and come back and realize where did this go off? Where did this go off the rails? Impermanence doesn't mean it's not important, it's not precious. In fact, the changing nature of phenomena allows us to engage with phenomena with a heart that is open, with a heart that is free, the heart that is generous and more caring towards ourselves and towards others. It's not hung up in how things need to be. It has more freedom, has more love, more beauty, more grace about it. That is the hope. That is the invitation. So, anicca, 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 impermanence, impermanence. It's like this. So I like to go back and end the talk with this quote from the Buddha. In seeing impermanence, the mind doesn't cling. When the mind doesn't cling, it's not agitated. When it's not agitated, it personally attains nibbana. It personally attains freedom. And freedom is the birthplace of care, love, compassion, service for ourselves and others. So care, stability, supports us to see impermanence. And seeing impermanence gives rise more to deeper stability with impermanence and deeper love and care. It's the virtuous cycle, virtuous cycle. Let's just sit together in silence for a minute and let the words settle. May we all have freedom, giving rise to deep care, love, and appreciation for this mystery, this passing, this constantly passing, arising and passing. Mystery. Of our lives and those of others. Thank you for your kind attention. And the time has passed. Enjoy your afternoon, evening, whatever your time zone might be. Take care.